it wasn't surprising to hear that the department had asked for an extension of the grant, because what we know is that, or what has been government policy and what the department has been looking for, was to develop a policy on basic income.
Mm-hmm.
But we know that that has been delayed. It's not really transparent. Why? Because that policy has been in the works for a very long time.
Yes.
But we know that our cabinet asked them to go back and rework the policy.
Mm.
So the rationale behind the extension was that they want more years, because, of course, a process to develop a new policy would take a long time.
Longer.
So they wouldn't just draft the policy, but the policy would then have to be published for consultation. It would have to be taken to Parliament, turned into a bill, and passed. So it is so that the people who are already dependent on the FRD grant will be the people who would be receiving the basic income, don't lose their income support in the interim.
Mm-hmm.
I think what's surprising is that they asked for 2 to 3 years, and National Treasury really only gave them 1 year, which up to the end of March next year.
Mm-hmm. So now we know this grant, since its inception during the COVID-19 pandemic in 2020, there's been many calls from civil society and obviously recipients for this grant to be, you know, for us to see it become a basic income grant. Do you see that these extensions and also government working on the policy, do you see that we will eventually see this basic income grant in the near future, in a couple of years down the line?
I hope so, and I think that that's kind of the want that civil society and recipients want. I think a danger that I need to point out now is that, so DSD submitted a draft policy to cabinet. We haven't seen it, but from what they're saying, I think that they had conceptualized it as a basic income policy. But we know that it's been sent back, because what Treasury was pushing especially was for them to take account of affordability, sustainability, but most especially they wanted it to have explicit links to job creation. So the policy essentially now, it seems that it is going to be tied to the objective of whether it can actually create jobs, which is worrying.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you think about it, we have, for example, the Department of Labor, who have now also been called on to work on developing this policy. They haven't been able to create jobs in the last like 10, 20 years. And so to place an objective or condition that we're only going to see a basic income if it is able to create jobs seems a little irrational, and it's a little worrying about what the actual nature of the policy would become, because we would oppose something like, for example, a job conditions, a basic income, for example, one that requires people to prove that they are looking for work in order to receive a grant, because that's complicated, but also because it ignores the real drivers of unemployment in South Africa, which is that people want to work, there simply aren't enough jobs in the economy.
Mm-hmm. So, and I think as much as we acknowledge that there's been a lot of calls for a basic income grant, there's also been a lot of pushback on having this something that is eventually becomes permanent. A lot of sentiments coming out of, is it really feasible given the fiscal constraints that we find ourselves in South Africa's economy in this day? And a lot of people have said, yes, it is. Maybe you can just elaborate more on the research that you guys have done at the Institute for Economic Justice that sees that they it is something that's feasible.
Right, so I think when it comes to the conversation of affordability and feasibility, the way National Treasury has approached it has been to conclude that it is unaffordable or infeasible, no matter what the arrangement is. Essentially, they've just concluded that there is no way of raising possible revenue. What we have is what we have now, and it's impossible to raise more money.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not true, because, one, I think just looking at what happened in the budget process this fear, I think, tells you that even National Treasury themselves don't believe that, because they had also made revenue proposals that argued that they proposed, of course, a VAT increase, which was rejected. But I think even they recognize that it's important to raise revenue. But in terms of alternative revenue mechanisms, we've proposed a lot of them, and we proposed a lot of them even in as alternatives to the VAT increase. So, for example, in the long term, South Africa can look to developing a wealth tax policy, because what's well understood in South Africa is that wealth is not sufficiently taxed enough. So we tax a lot on income, but there's a difference between income and wealth. And so people who hold wealth or receive their money not from the labor market pay much lower taxes than those who pay personal income taxes, mm-hmm. for example. That could be a long-term solution. But there are also other, like, shorter-term solutions, like, for example, drawing down on the gold and foreign exchange reserve account, which is a reserve account that is kept by the SA Reserve, South African Reserve Bank. So that's just money that is gained from surpluses in the foreign exchange market that Treasury has drawn on before. That is an avenue that could be looked at in the short term. But even things like taking away medical aid tax credits for those who earn very high levels of income is something that could be explored. So what we have argued, and of course I think I should also mention that SARS themselves said that they would be able to raise extra revenue if their funding for operations wasn't reduced. So the commissioner says, just give me money to improve our capacity at SARS, and we'd be able to better collect taxes, and we'd be able to close the revenue gaps that you had that necessitated the VAT increase in the first place. And unfortunately, Treasury did not really increase their allocation, so they're still working on a limited operation. But I think the point is that there are many alternatives to raising revenue, and they don't have to be regressive. So it doesn't have to be a VAT increase or a fuel levy increase, which negatively impact all of us. There are ways to raise revenue in ways that are progressive.